It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hello, welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And today we have a special guest.
Mr. Ray Brazier.
How you doing?
Good, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing well.
We actually have Caitlin here, too. You've heard Caitlin on our property management shows. Today we're talking about 1031 exchanges. Caitlin wanted to sit in and learn, get educated, and it's going to be a good show. We've talked about having somebody on, Lisa, for a while to do 1031, talk about 1031 exchanges. We know a bit. We've been part of a few or part of one right now, one of our clients, but we're not as savvy as you. So as soon as I found out that you have as much experience as you do, you were kind enough to agree to come on the show, so we appreciate it. And I think my dad, we've talked about some of the tax implications-ish, but we really did not dig down in deep. So I'm just going to start with a basic question. What the heck is a 1031 exchange?
Well, first of all, put out my disclosure, I am not a tax accountant or giving tax advice here, but 1031 exchange is an IRS code that allows an individual to do a like-kind exchange. And in our world, we're dealing with real estate.
Is there other types of exchanges, meaning is it always real estate involved, or is 1031 can be vehicles or?
So, I've only dealt with it from the real estate standpoint over the last 25 years. My understanding of it back in the early tax code, it was originally for farmers doing exchanges. My experience has been in the real estate world.
Perfect. Well, good. This is a real estate show, so that's going to come in handy. So for listeners that are listening out there, who would be doing a 1031 exchange?
Well, basically anybody's got a equity appreciation in a piece of real estate that's wanting to defer the tax implications of their sale. A 1031 exchange allows you to sell an existing property and go out and find another real estate investment. And a lot of times people misunderstand it. They think an apartment building for an apartment building, a house for a house, land for land. In real estate, the IRS says it's all real estate. So you can take an apartment building, go buy a piece of land, vice versa. It's pretty broad when you get into real estate.
Yeah, I was really interested that you can actually invest into a real estate investment trust in a 1031 exchange, because that's the one we're dealing with right now for a real property, and they're buying into a REIT.
So I've heard of those, but I've never ever
participated
in. Mine has always been, someone buying tangible real estate, not into, that type of investment.
Yeah, it was interesting. It caught me off guard at first.
You can go sell your rental property and put the money into an investment trust. Cool. That's good to know, because I think most people thought that if I sold my mall, I'd have to go buy another
strip mall,
or if I sold a rental property, I had to go into a rental property. So who's at risk, or how do you calculate if you're at risk for capital gains tax or just being taxed?
So always when you're doing any type of investment, you should be talking to your accountant to kind of know what your cost basis is into real estate. With depreciation, your cost basis is actually depreciating and going down more and more and more. So, sometimes people have a misconception. I bought something for $100,000. It's worth $200,000. I have $100,000 taxable gain.
Right.
But if you've owned it for 15 years and written off half the property, in the eyes of the IRS, you have $150,000 tax gain.
Yeah, good point.
A lot of people forget that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the IRS, they'll give you the deduction on the front side, but they want it back when you sell it.
So what about like Caitlin's house that she lives in right now? Is she going to get taxed on that when she sells it?
So personal residence generally aren't something people would look at doing a 1031 exchange on. There are other, again, I'm not a tax accountant, but there are other tax rules at play for personal residence on exemptions.
So it's usually just going to be an investment property.
Correct.
For investment property. Okay, so now we know what it is and who might be likely doing it. So I mean, is there any reason not to do a 1031 exchange?
Not if you're going to continue moving your money forward in investing. You know, the 1031 exchange just allows you to continue to punt that ball further and further down the field on paying Uncle Sam.
And, which is always nice.
And, you know, at some point the taxes come due, and there's even some rules. Again, talked to a tax accountant where that if you're a 1031 exchanging forward, forward, and forward, and you die, the real estate then has a stepped-up value, and you could, in theory, avoided capital gains all the way through. Again, I'm not an accountant.
Yes, of course. No one here is an accountant, but that's how it should lay out. Are people able to exchange between states? Because I've had people ask me that question. Are you allowed to 1031 from one property in Alaska for a property, say, in Florida?
Yes. And matter of fact, you know, a lot of times our exchanges are across state lines. You know, people are, you know, they built up a portfolio here. They're in their 70s. They're retiring. They don't want to keep managing real estate and, you know, 50 below.
Yes.
And want to take that investment forward, and they want to, you know, they can invest somewhere, anywhere in the United States. And I've been told this, the territory as well, but, you know, definitely
sure
the 50
United,
states.
Yeah,
yes.
So, and like Caitlin, she has a rental property. She's going to at some point move to Florida in her lifetime, and she may want to not be an away landlord and might want to sell it and parlay that into a property in Florida. So it's good to know that you can go cross lines, and it's a federal thing, not a state
correct
tax implication
it's a federal IRS code.
So how does Caitlin go about the process? Once she wants, she'll talk to an accountant and
get their direction
and find out. And I think most accountants, I mean, my dad's a tax accountant, so he's, you know, he's very involved in 1031 exchanges. But so she needs to get in front of her accountant, talk about the tax implications, and then is there an expert in town? Do you have to go out of town? Does she come talk to you? Who does?
So the IRS requires a third-party exchanger. Over the last 25 years, I've used, there's an exchanger in Anchorage called Alaska 1031 Exchange. Mm-hmm. That's who I've personally used, and I've done five of them personally myself over the years. And then I've, you know, have referred most of my clients down to Alaska 1031 Exchange. I have worked with other exchangers from Lower 48 when someone's come to me, but if they're coming to me directly and I'm advising them, I kick them down to there.
Yep.
Their fees are very minimal. Their knowledge is great. So
yep, we've done the same too. Yep. What I don't remember what the fees are. What does it? Is it based on price, or is it just kind of a set?
It is based on price, but you know, it's not that expensive. Like, you know, personally, I just wrapped up an apartment complex, and my fees to them was $1,800. So
it's not something. It's part of the deal.
You're not even going to really notice it on a larger sale.
Yeah, correct. When you're signing the settlement statement, it's not going
right.
to stand
I mean,
out.
I was looking at, you know, saving $170,000 in taxes, so
yes.
That didn't.
Yeah. You're like, that sounds good.
Drop in the bucket. Yeah. Okay, so that's not a barrier to getting in, or an excuse not to do a 1031 exchange.
Correct.
So we won't let the fees get in our way. So for yours that you've done on your own, you've called down to Anchorage, and then what's the process from there?
So, you know, what I like to do is I get my work set up ahead of time. Is, you know, I start prepping with my accountant, looking at what my vibrate,
okay.
And it's not. It's
usually
me vibrate.
It's mine that dings.
So I'll have a meeting with my accountant, go over what I'm looking to do, which property I'm looking to sell, what would be my expected gain plus the recapture of the depreciation. And what would be my expected taxes? And then I will then reach out to Alaska 1031 Exchange. And I kind of like to do mine in reverse. Reverse being that I like to actually go out and find the property I'm going to buy first and then wrap up my exchange.
I was going to say, because I was reading up, there's four types of 1031 exchanges. Let me know if this is just the interweb telling me this or if it's accurate. So simultaneous, where both parties relinquish their properties at the same time, a delay where the investor relinquishes their property and finds a replacement property within 45 days, a reverse, the investor purchases a replacement property through a third-party intermediary before relinquishing their own, or for improvement, equity from the transaction goes to a third-party intermediary who uses it to renovate the building.
Yeah, and so mine's not true reverse exchange, because what I'll do is I'll go out and identify and find the property that I'd like to get my hands onto, negotiate that, and then go relinquish my property is how I prefer to personally do it.
Doesn't seem stupid.
Well,
it seems like
a lot of times we've dealt with the opposite, where they go through the whole process, they're exchanging, and then they have that window, they have to go find a property.
Right. You're kind of out of the gun.
That's sort of nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, that can be really nerve-wracking. Yeah. I mean, because we've all had clients that, you know, once you sell the property, you have two simultaneous clocks ticking. You
yes.
have your 180-day to wrap up your new transaction, plus, you know, ticking right along with that is your 45-day, you know, identification period. And, you know, you don't have to be under contract to those properties you're identifying. But, you know, you're going to want to say, hey, I want, you know, X, Y, and Z. You can identify three without special rules coming into play. You know, and you don't even know if that seller is going to even come to their agreements
right.
with you.
Yeah, we've run into people being really under the gun because they sort of hemmed and hawed, and that time frame is closing. And then you're making a rash decision when you shouldn't be.
Exactly. I mean, and, you know, that's not the whole purpose of trying to plan your investment. In my mind.
Yes, I agree. I mean, it just seems like a way better and calmer way to approach the situation.
A little bit of a tangent, but, you know, you brought me an offer a month ago on a property that had, you know, it stated it's part of a 1031 exchange.
Correct.
Disclose that. And then, you know, Lisa, we're doing a sale right now where our seller is doing a 1031 exchange.
Into a RIT.
Is there, if it comes up, is there anything to be scared of? Like, you guys had your homework done, you identified the, you know, you guys made it not scary. So,
all the ducks were in the
so room. For me, on representing sellers, like, great, that's easy squeezy. That's nothing to run away from. But do you ever run into people that say, hey, we're going to do a 1031 exchange, but they don't know what they're doing? Can it be scary in a real estate transaction?
So the knee jerk is, you know, a confused mind always says no. And so the knee jerk is, what's going on here? I don't know what to do here. And to be in compliance with the IRS code, you must, in the offer, state that it's going to be part of a 1031 exchange. That's a requirement. It's not, hey, I'm just trying to tell you how I'm doing my money. Because if I don't do this way, I can't do the 1031 exchange. Ah. So it's a requirement. And, you know, a lot of times when I've had, you know, realtors that have not been part of an exchange or something, they'll have some questions, you know, and basically you just got to go walk somebody through. It's like, look, they have X amount of money coming over here. We're going to be tying it with this financing over here. All parties have to sign the offer saying that's going to be part of a 1031 exchange, that the sale is going to be turned over, signed over to the exchanger. Their name goes on title, and then it transfers to the ultimate person in the end. So there is one extra step, but it's never a cost to the seller.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I bet you people freak out because they don't know. So is there a cost? Is it going to take longer? Is there a higher chance that somebody's going to back out of the deal?
I would say the reverse is true. Usually a 1031 person is really committed.
And they tend to be knowledgeable because
right.
this is not a common way of handling real estate. So they are a little savvier. They've experienced regular closings already. They just come in from a different perspective.
The fail to perform can be huge amounts of tax burden.
Yeah.
So they're committed.
Okay. Good. No. Oh, good to know. Okay. So can you explain? I guess I know we're running out of time here, Lisa, before we go to break. But I guess when we come back, can we talk about the exchange person themselves, you know, how you said they're involved. Are they signing on paperwork? You said they're going to be on title for a period of time. If we could dive into that when we get back.
Yeah, dive into that when we get back. You bet.
We'll be back after this short break.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business, period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., and Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Welcome back, and we're going to continue our discussion about 1031 exchanges.
Thanks. And if you're just joining us, we're here with Ray Brazier of RE/MAX. He's our local 1031 exchange expert, I'm going to call him. And we're here with Caitlin. She's also listening in because she might be party to one of these herself coming up.
As a real estate investor, it might be something you're looking down the path to doing.
Yeah. What I did want to dive into was find out exactly what that intermediary does for that third party. How are they involved? What do they sign? You said they go on title. Can you explain that a little deeper?
Yeah. So you know, once you have your accepted offer on the sale and your accepted offer on the purchase, all of that then is getting transferred, assigned over to them, and really, they're kind of a holding entity, if you will. There's not a whole lot extra in, like, say the other side, the realtor side, that's, you know, dealing with a 1031 exchange. They're going to need to send the documents to the 1031 as well as to the title company. Title companies are very familiar with doing 1031s, so they know to loop them in very quickly into it. You know, one thing your title officer is going to ask is, where are you at on your timelines?
Yes.
Because these are going to be very critical. And, you know, you can opt a 1031 exchange, you know, right to the night before you sign. So, you know, sometimes that can create some challenges. But when I say sign on the sale of the property you're relinquishing, so, you know, it's always really good at the start of things just to let the title company know, let them know who the exchanger is, you know, the lenders, all those, you know, in our job, we're always, you know, we're conductors, so
right.
We just got to make sure everybody's, you know, knows what we're doing.
Well, it's okay. Just an extra piece of the pie, but it's not.
Yeah, and
it's
doesn't.
Not gigantic.
It's one extra phone call.
Yep.
It does not change, slow down what we are used to doing.
Yeah, and we're doing it right now, Lisa, and we got them the exchange information, I think, a month ago, as soon as I found out it was part of a 1031 exchange. We let them know, got the seller to give us a contact. It's out of state somewhere, and got them all hooked up, but we haven't had to worry about it. So, title company is. Must be doing everything behind the scenes, and we haven't had to do anything. So, and we do have real estate professionals that do listen to the show. It's not any extra work. It's not scary. So don't
shy away from it. As a matter of fact, as a real estate professional in our field, you should always be talking to your clients who are selling their investment property. asking, have they talked to their accountant? What's the tax burden's going to be? Is this an option to, you know, because a lot of times we'll hear, well, I'm moving to Arizona. Hey, did you know? You can take the money with you and not pay taxes or reduce the taxes.
Yes, and it's just, it's a nice tool, and it should be, I don't know if it's utilized enough. I think it's missed out on a lot of people that they just don't have the knowledge.
I
don't understand it.
Or, yeah, they get scared.
I have a question. So when you're exchanging properties, do they have to be of similar value?
So to do what they call a 100% exchange, you need to do a full exchange, and a full exchange is, let's say you're selling something for $200,000, you need to buy something a minimum of $200,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, I always tell my clients, you know, a dollar over what you're selling it for, that's called a full exchange. You can do a partial exchange, and actually, I did my own partial exchange for the first time here recently because I did want to pull out some of the capital. For improvements. Well, the IRS will allow you to do a partial exchange, and of course then you're paying the capital gains and the recapture capture on your depreciation on that percentage of the money that you're not fully taking through the exchange.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And, you know, of course I sat down with my accountant. I wanted to know what would be my tax burden, and it made financial sense for me not to do a full exchange on that, what I was doing.
Okay.
And that makes me think, time of the year, is there any wait till the new year before you do a 1031 or you close one? Does it matter the time of the year to do one?
It's not as critical as like when we're selling. You know, when we're selling, we all want to hit January 1st, so we got 18 months to pay that capital gains. When you're 1031 exchanging, you're kicking that can down the road anyhow. So that gotcha. Date's not as critical as if you were going to pay the taxes.
Okay.
That's really interesting because you always, you know, that end of year and the beginning of the first year and everything. I've had people sort of have that feeling that the exchange still sort of is running, even though the whole reason you're doing it is to not have that happen. It seems like people get that feeling that they have this 18 months down the road, but it defers that. Not an issue anymore.
Right.
What else? I guess what else do we need to know about 1031 exchanges? I mean, it sounds simple. I just don't get why people don't do it.
Just knowledge.
Right. And it's knowledge.
Having the radio show and talking about it. I think not everyone, I don't think maybe everyone offers it up as an option for them to look into, and therefore they just don't realize it's an opportunity for them to do their tax situation differently when they're exchanging or selling an investment property.
Well, and a lot of times, especially in our realtor world, that's looked at as something a commercial person does, a commercial realtor.
Yeah.
When a non-commercial realtor may be selling somebody's house that, you know, they had for X amount of years and they've got $100,000 capital gains. It's worth having that conversation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a commercial realtor to have the conversation. And, there are actual exchanges in Alaska. So you can reach out to Alaska 1031 Exchange I promote them. I have no ownership in them. It's just who I've used personally for 25 years.
And they're locally based in the state of Alaska, which is always nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think we're going to see an increase of them just because there's the amount of appreciation we've seen over the last 10 to 15 years in properties that maybe more and more people will be utilizing them because they're going to see more capital gain situations?
I believe so. I do.
Yep. So knowledge is the key.
Good question. Have you ever run into where a buyer and a seller are both doing 1031s on the property?
So I haven't been double stacked on a 1031. Okay. Obviously, I've been double stacked in other sales, but never on a 1031.
Yeah.
We did one where both sides.
Did we? Okay.
Yep. And one was exchanging from here to Hawaii, and the other people were exchanging. They were coming in and exchanging into Alaska.
Yeah.
And it was just coincidental.
Okay.
That was a number of years ago, but I remember. But even double-sided, two 1031 exchanges, there was no hiccups. It was a normal transaction time period. Everyone was closed in the appropriate time, and it didn't even matter.
Usually people with 1031s have a fair amount of capital coming to the transaction.
Yes, which is always nice when you're...
Can you explain the time periods again, the 45 days and the six months?
Right, so you have two clocks ticking at the very same time. You have your 45-day period to identify your replacement property.
When does that time start ticking?
The day after you close the sale.
Okay.
Okay. Of the property that you're
going to
exchange.
Relinquishing.
Okay.
Correct. So that very following morning, you're hitting day one. And so, you know, you have that 45-day period to be identifying. At the same time, the 180-day clock is ticking to close the transaction. You don't get 45 and then 180.
They are both
ticking on the very same day.
Okay. So that makes sense why you identify your stuff ahead of time. That 45, you don't want to be a panicky buyer.
Well, and think if you were doing it a few years ago when we had much longer transaction times than we previously had. There had to be some people.
90 days was the norm.
Getting a little panicked because we weren't. I mean, it caught some of us off guard when it changed, and all of a sudden our closings were way pushed out.
Exactly. I mean, I think we were all got used to extensions.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get anything close on time.
Yeah, I wrote yes.
What happens if you go past the clock, the 45 days and the 180 days? What happens then?
I don't know because I've never gone beyond those daylights.
And
my assumption would be that it'd be a standard sale at that point, and your capital gains would be due.
Mr. IRS is going to come talk to you and want your capital gains.
I know they don't grant extensions on it.
So no ready extensions like a real estate transaction.
Nope.
I need another 30 days.
You said you pulled some out for improvements.
I did. Currently, my last, I did personally two 1031 exchanges this year. On my last exchange there, I did a partial where I did not do 100%, value to value exchange. And so the IRS looks at that as booty. And you have to be, especially when you're doing a partial, you got to be really careful because you need to carry through the same debt load. Otherwise, you would pay capital gains on the debt relief. And so it was a little more, it was trickier to go partial than it was full.
Yeah.
So we had to make sure that I had enough debt, the same debt, and then I was only paying my capital gains on my actual gains and not my relief on debt.
Bray, thank you so much, man. I know we could probably keep going. We've got to get going. Thank you so much for your knowledge. So if any of our listeners want to do a 1031, want you to help them out, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, if they can get a hold of me over at RE/MAX there, 452-6387 there. I've been there for 26 years.
Thank you, Ray Brazier. We sure appreciate your brain and your knowledge.
And thank you, Caitlin, for joining us today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And go enjoy your Saturday and stay tuned for The Buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to kfar.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.